Christmas bells merrily ring. Tell all the world Jesus is King. Loudly proclaim with one accord the happy tale. Welcome the Lord. Come all ye people, join in the singing. Repeat the story told by the bells. Ring Christmas bells, sound far and near. The birthday of Jesus is here.
Yes, ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior.
So this is how it was, a silent night like any other. When heaven sent the one that he would call our Savior, and redemption began in a stable in Bethlehem. All of the angels lifted up voices and fill the night with hallelujahs. God is with us now. Everyone come and join the heavenly chorus. Our Savior King is here before us. Oh, to hear the sound, the song creation sang when hope came down.
So this was truly God, wrapped up in a tattered blanket. Hope was finally here, sleeping while the world awakened. And redemption began with a baby in Bethlehem.
All of the angels lifted up their voices and filled the night with hallelujahs. God is with us now. Everyone come and join the heavenly chorus. Our Savior King is here before us. Oh, to hear the sound, the song creation sang when hope came down. So let us sing redemption song. Let us worship Christ the Holy One. We were lost, but we were found when hope came down. When hope came down. All of the angels lifted up their voices and fill the night with hallelujahs. God is with us now. Everyone come and join the heavenly chorus. Our Savior King is here before us. and sang when hope came down.
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 When hope came. When hope came down.
When hope came down.
When hope came down.
Take your Bibles, please. That hope that came down, obviously, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that we have, as we shall see. John chapter 1. Star Wars. Episode 8, Last Jedi, came out this week. You know, people have analyzed why Star Wars have had such a popular success. Was it, what, 77 when the first one came out? Something like that. This is one of the statements that was made. Star Wars connects with many who long for a new hope and a force of good at a time when the world needs heroes. You know, our world is kind of like that today. Not just from the standpoint of that, but we see it in so much that society produces out there, things that they're looking from the popularity of Marvel movies and so forth, with superheroes and those that have programs that have such as Designated Survivor. I don't know if you've seen that hour program or something there that goes on, has a president that looks the part, speaks the part, is given impossible situations, come up with an absolute great plan of attack. We all want a president like that. Never have had one in my lifetime, I don't think, exactly like that. But at the same time, we all have desires and we seek things, hope, and we seek answers, etc. there. You know that when Jesus was born, the Jews were in that type of a situation. They were under the tyranny of the Roman Empire, and they were looking for their Messiah to come, but they had not heard from God for some 400 years. No prophets had really prophesied, no additional information, no, you know, it's got to be soon now. You know that we have today more evidence of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture than what they did of the Messiah, even though if they had really been a scholar of the prophets, they would have known the timing. I mean, I'm not going to do that one today, but anyway, they were in that kind of a situation there where they were oppressed and they were longing for their long-promised Messiah, and they wanted him to come and deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire and to lead them as their king. But that is not the picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ came at. He didn't come to be their hero, to deliver them militarily and give them some kind of a victory there when it comes to politics necessarily. But he came to be more than that. He came to be there and our Savior. In John 1, in verse 11, because he did not come the way that they expected, it says there that he came to his own and his own received him not. They did not receive him. But you know, I love the next verse there. He didn't come to be their hero, but he came to be the Savior. And for those that did believe that and receive what he did as their payment of sin, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God. And that is that truth that we need to understand and embrace about what Christmas is all about. It is here in John 1 that we see exactly who God is, God the Son specifically, becoming incarnate, that is, taking on human flesh. And in verse 1, it says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know this to be God the Son, face to face with God the Father, and God the Son, the Word, was and is God. And in verse 14 is Bethlehem, Christmas. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We have here the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the Word, if you will, God the Son taking on human flesh and there appearing unto the world. The Word is God the Son. In 1 John 5 and verse 7 it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." That sounds right, doesn't it? That's not what that verse says. If you turn over there, you'll find that it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, it says. We understand the Trinity. We understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. But God here in His revelation to us tells us that it is the Father, not just talking of Him as the Son, but the Word, He calls Him, God the Son, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Also here in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." That kind of ties back in my mind there to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. There's a prophecy that Micah gave there in Micah 5:2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." I'm going to stop right there. Here's a prophecy that the one that would be the ruler in Israel there, the Messiah that was coming, was going to come through or be born in Bethlehem. And that was the prophecy that was understood even when Herod asked the Pharisees there and the priests and so forth, where was this Christ going to be born? They knew exactly. They told him, quoted the verse there, it's going to be Bethlehem. And so we have that truth that is given there. But notice as the verse goes on to say there, in Micah 5:2 there, that he would come unto me that would be the ruler in Israel, that's Jesus Christ, "whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Here is Jesus Christ, God the Son, and it specifics there and ties to "in the beginning was the Word." He is from everlasting. He is the one in the timeline chart there that goes beyond the creation in the past. He was with the Father and is God Himself. And so we have here this truth that is given. And then we come back into John chapter 1 again in verse 15. It says, "John bear witness of Him." John the Baptist here bear witness of this Jesus that is born there in Bethlehem. God, the Word that became flesh. "He bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." How can John, who was born before Jesus by 6 months, how can he say that Jesus was before him? Only in the sense that He is the Word, God the Son, who is from everlasting. He is the one that is eternal. Also look at verses 29 and 30. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for He was before me." You can't get much clearer than that of who He was talking about. And yet there is more evidence in John 17 and verse 5. "And now, O Father," Jesus is speaking here in his prayer unto God the Father. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self and with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Before the world was. And so Jesus says himself there that he had glory with the Father before the world ever was. God the Son, in the beginning, was the Word. Indeed, Jesus is God the Son, the Word, who was with God and who was and is God. It is this living Word that the written Word of God is all about. And it is this Word that speaks to us today. And I've entitled the message today, Words from the Word. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help me to be able to share very clearly the truth that you've laid upon my heart, the truth here of the message of Jesus, God the Son, who is the Word, who became flesh at Bethlehem there that we celebrate here at Christmas. And Lord, we thank you for that great gift. And I pray that you would make his words known unto us today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I want us to see that this is the Word that speaks unto us. And he speaks to us, first of all, as Creator. Look back in John 1 here. In verse 3, it says there of this Word, of God the Son, the Lord Jesus that we know, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Obviously, it makes a very clear statement that is there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, being the one that created all things. Paul wrote the same type of statement over in Colossians chapter 1, there in verse 14 and following. We find there in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 14, which picks up from verse 13 there, speaking about his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, and that's rank, not chronology. And then it says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that's ranks of angels. All things were created by him and for him. And so the Word that became flesh is the same Word that created all things. Everything was created by him, and it was created by his Word. You remember in Genesis chapter 1 there, speaking of creation, in verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke it into existence. Each part of each day there, and God said, let there be, and he spoke creation into existence. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. It is by his spoken word that he created everything. It is no question and no wonder that at his second coming, when he comes back and the battle of Armageddon takes place, it says that he will slaughter them with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. We know that sword to be his word, the word of God. He shall by his speaking annihilate them in a slaughter. And so God has that power to create. He has that power to destroy. He has that power as Almighty God to do exactly as he pleases there. And it is by the power of his word that he accomplished it. Not only did we see Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Word, as the originator of the first creation, but he is also the originator of the new creation. You know what I'm speaking of there, because that's us, you and me, as believers today. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creation is the word there. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are made a new creation at the salvation when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are that creation. In Hebrews 2:12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the originator, and the finisher, the completer of our faith. Not just of the faith there, but of our salvation, of our new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the originator and He is the completion of it. He did everything to provide our salvation, and He has done everything to perfect our salvation, to sustain us and to complete us, which brings us to the next category. Not only does He speak to us as Creator, but He speaks to us as the Sustainer. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to flip there very quickly, fingers be nimble and quick. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, matter of fact, let's back up and read verses 1 through 3 there, where it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers or many different manners spake unto the in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. There we have the creation part. Now notice what verse 3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, that verse right there is packed full of truth. But what I want to bring to your attention there, it says in the middle there that He says, upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things means that once He created everything, then He sustained everything. Everything continues in this world by His power, specifically by the word of His power, it says. And so the word speaks, and all things hold together in this world as He sees fit. We're told the same type of truth over in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3 there. Be good if I get over to Colossians. No, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Picking up there in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin that we read, who is the invisible God, etc. there. Notice down to verse 17, after verse 16, says, by Him all things were created, by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, in the beginning, okay? And by Him all things, what's the word? Consist. You know, that's the same word there, to be held together. We have what we call in this world the laws of nature. I don't really like the laws of nature, because they're the laws of God. It's God that holds it together. These are consistencies that people in our world are smart enough to recognize, and they say, you know, gravity is consistent. And there are many different things in this world that we find that are consistent, and therefore they call them laws. But you know why they're consistent? Because by Him all things consist. They're held together in that consistency. And so there is that power that we have as He speaks to us as the Sustainer. And what does He say? Jesus Christ, again, for us as believers, is also our Sustainer. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says, He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The life that He's speaking about there is not just physical life there, but He's talking about our spiritual life, our eternal life. He has given us everything that pertains unto that, and unto godliness, godlikeness, holy behavior, righteous conduct. He has given us everything that we need in order to be holy, in order to be righteous. Jesus Christ has provided it all. He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. John MacArthur made this statement. Excuse me. He says, His grace that is so powerful to save is equally powerful to sustain. And that is so true. He is the sustainer. So He speaks to us as the Creator, and He speaks to us as the Sustainer. And then if you'll look back with me to John chapter 14, He speaks to us as the way, the truth, and the life. And this verse, I hope that every one of you in here are very familiar with and understand it. As Jesus is speaking here, and of course his disciples, he just told them that he is going to be leaving them, and they're not going to see him anymore, and they were troubled about this. In verse 1 he says, "Then let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He told them about, "In this house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, "I'll come back and get you, that you may be there with me also." And he says, "And where I go, you know," verse 4 there, "and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Wait a minute, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And then here are those great words that Jesus spoke about himself. He said, "I am." Now this is, I believe, the sixth "I am" statement of Jesus in the book of John. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, I want us to take this simple verse right here, and I want to break it down into those three parts, and I want you to see that, first of all, Jesus is the way. No man, no person comes unto the Father except by Jesus Christ. He said there that he was the way, not a way. There's a world of people out here that you will meet that will agree with you and say Jesus is a way. They'll read John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God," they say. That's not what that verse is. The world will say he is a God, he is a way, you have your way, I've got my way. And they'll come and present whatever they believe. But I'm here to tell you today, according to this Bible, and according to Jesus Christ, who the world also says was a great teacher and a great person, but if they don't believe him, then he was a great liar. And I'm here today to promise you he's not a liar. He was saying the truth when he says there, "I am the only way. Nobody can come into the Father but through me." It was not a way, but the way. Acts 4:12, Peter preached, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul wrote to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, he says, "For there is one God." All right, let me stop right there. Get everybody on the same page with that one. It's not one God for the Jews, one God for us American Christians, one God for the Muslims, one God for the Buddha, one God for the... No, there's only one God. And there's only one mediator, it says, between God and men. What men? All men. Mankind. There's one God, and there's one mediator between mankind and that one God, and that's Christ Jesus, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that's what he did on Calvary when he provided the way. Chapter 2 and verse 4, we'll back up right before Paul told Timothy this. He says, speaking of God our Savior in verse 3 there, he said in verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved," all people, that's mankind again, "and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." What was the truth that they're to come into the knowledge of? The truth that there's one God and there's one mediator, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's the truth. Which brings us then from Jesus being the way to Jesus being the truth. Look back with me, please, if you will, to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Jesus is here standing before Pilate, and Pilate is interrogating him. And in verse 37, "Pilate therefore said unto him," unto Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." And most Christians stop their thinking about that part right there, and they say, you know, that's the truth. Jesus Christ was born a king. And that is true, he was. He is the Messiah, the ruler that would come. He is the one that was born King of the Jews. But that's not what this verse says. Notice in this verse there, in John 18, verse 37, Pilate says, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king, period. To this cause was I born, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world," no period, "that," here's the purpose, "that I should bear witness unto the truth," period. All right, why did Jesus Christ come into the world? Was it to be the King of the Jews? No. It was to be the Savior. But He came to bear witness of the truth. Now, what is truth? You'll run across this question out there as you talk with the lost world around you. You have your truth, I have my truth. Who's to say that your truth's any better than mine? Well, first of all, if you're talking to me that way, I'd be quick to answer you and say, "Wait a minute, I'm not telling you my truth. I'm telling you God's truth." And I'd take them to the verse I'm fixing to take you, if you'll back up one chapter there. And in John chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus is speaking here. And He says, "Sanctify them, set them apart through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said to Pilate, "I came to bear witness to the truth." And Jesus had already said that God's Word is the truth. Jesus, the Word, the living Word, came to bear the evidence of the written Word about Him. It's been said that truth is not in the Bible because it is true. It is true because it is in the Bible. Let me say that again. Truth is not in the Bible because it is true. It is true because it is in the Bible. Now let me say it even a better way. God didn't say it because it was true. It is true because God said it. All right? If we can get that understanding there, that this is what God said. We call it God's Word. It's the Bible. It is from cover to cover. And as one man said, "I even believe the cover." I don't have my name on it, but he had his. But anyway, it is the truth, all of it. And it is that truth that we have from God. And if the God of the heaven is the only God of the only heaven, and man ever wants to get there, it is only one way, and the truth is that way is Jesus Christ alone. That is the only way that anybody could ever hope to get there. Oh, I got more I could say with that. John 3:36 says this, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Understand this very simple truth. You're either saved from the penalty of your sin, or you're not saved from the penalty of your sin. There is no "I might be." There is no "I hope so." There's no room for that at all when it comes to your salvation. You either believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He is, and that He did what He said He did for the reason that He said He did it, to pay for your sins. He died and He rose again. You either believe that truth, and you believe that you have a need because you're a sinner. And because we are sinners, we have a penalty of our sin. The wages of sin is death. And because that penalty, that judgment of death is upon every one of us, because we're all sinners, then we're going to die. And we're going to go to a place of judgment called hell, in a lake of fire, which is a place of burning and torment. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Word, who became flesh, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in hell fire, but have everlasting life with God in heaven. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the good news that we have to share, the tidings of great joy that has come unto all people. So there are two main truths that I want you to get from this message to take with you. Number one, Jesus is the only hope of salvation from your sin's penalty. And with that in mind, my question to you is, do you know for sure that you have trusted and received that gift of eternal life? As I mentioned and quoted there, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do with a gift? Here we are at Christmas time. Excuse me. There are gifts possibly under your tree. There are gifts some of you have already peeked. There are gifts that you're hoping for and expecting. I like the one man that said something about he came up with the idea because his kids were so nosy about the gifts that he and his neighbor decided what they were going to do is he would store their gifts at their house and they would store over there, you know. And so when the kids poked around, they saw those new bicycles and stuff. They, oh, man, this is great, you know. And Christmas Day came and they got their stuff and looked out the window and there was those other kids riding their bicycles. Served you right. But you know, there's no mistaking the free gift that God offers to everyone. And all we need to do is by faith believe that we need it, that He gave it, and that it is free to be received. And just like with any gift, you have three choices. You can say, I don't believe that that's for me. Or you can say, I believe that that's for me, and walk out and leave it there. Or you can say, I believe that that's for me, and you can receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to those that believe on His name. Believing who He is, what He did, believing your need, and making the choice to receive Him. That's what salvation is. I hope you've done that. Christian, you've heard that same message there. We're to be spreading that good news to others. What a time of year to do that. So natural. But here's the second thing I hope you're getting. Because that is true, therefore, Jesus is the only reason for this Christmas season. He is the only reason for this Christmas season. The Christmas rush is on. There's so many things that are going on, so many things on the list to do, so many things that's got to be completed, and we have just 1 week left. And some people are panicking. Let me warn you, don't let those things rob you of this thing. Jesus is the reason. These other things are peripherals. Don't lose sight because you're getting sidetracked with the logistics. I hope that you know the truth about the only way that brings eternal life. If not, I invite you to come forward here at the invitation and let someone share with you how you can know for sure. But I also hope that you will enjoy celebrating that true way that came to earth and was born as a little baby, lived a perfect life, to die for you. I hope you'll celebrate that true way that became flesh and that we know is not just God the Son, the Word, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate Him this Christmas season. Every head bow, please. These are the words from the Word Himself. I've given you the invitation options. Believers, if God has touched your heart about something specific, maybe that's going on in your life right now that's distracting from you being able to celebrate, why not turn that over to the Lord? But if you're here today and you do not know for sure that you have that eternal life, I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm not asking you if you believe in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, have you personally, has there been a time in your life that you have asked Him to come into your life and take away your sin? That's what receiving Him is. And it's trusting Him alone, not Him and something else, but Jesus Christ alone. If you've never done that, as we have the invitation in a moment, will you come? Father, I pray that we would each leave out of here today with a confidence that we know that we have done what you have said in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love gift. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.